Good morning. Happy Sunday to everybody. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Can we just worship Him for just a moment? Hallelujah, Lord. We give You praise and glory, for You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We are thankful to be in Your house today. We give You praise, Lord, and for all that You're going to do. Touch hearts and minds and spirits and bodies today, Lord. Let us draw closer to You and be more like You, Lord. We love You and are so thankful to be in Your house today, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we give You praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, help us to follow You, Lord, with all of our hearts, Lord. We bring others to You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
Praise God. The blessing of having a long drive to church is that I get to just think about the Lord, pray, listen to music, sing songs, so many songs this morning. I was telling Sister, and it's not with any music accompaniment. It's just me singing, and I was telling Sister Walker that I was trying to think of a song and all these songs that kind of pertain to today's lesson, and I just thought, man, there was one I actually forgot, and I was like, oh, I thought it was in the songbook, but just all the songs like I've Decided to Follow Jesus. The one that I often sing, even in prayer, is Creating Me a Clean Heart. And then I don't know where I heard it, but the song goes, I want to be clean. I want to be beautiful for You. I just love that. You know, I segue between Creating Me a Clean Heart and I want to be clean. I just want to be clean. I want to be beautiful for Him. I want to be pure. I want to have a right spirit, and I desire those things so much because they help me, and they help my family, and they help others. And so it's a huge blessing. Today we're looking in our study at the overall, we're looking at a glorious church and sharing how the church, we are the church, praise God, as one of God's greatest gifts to His people. And so these lessons that we're starting now, the series, are the plans that He has for the church. He declared He would build His church. And then He's going to show us next week in study the purpose of the church. And then the church in action and what that looks like. And ultimately, the beautiful bride of Christ. Praise God, right? You know, isn't that what we're doing our life for, is for eternity? And to be that beautiful bride of Christ. And that's what we get to get up for every day and live for and share with our families and our friends and our neighbors. I feel very blessed and privileged and so thankful, so thankful. Jesus is coming soon. And when He returns, He's coming for a glorious church. We are the church. Praise God. We're going to go to our scripture text today in the book of Luke. And it's going to be Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And it says this, Jesus said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Praise God. We are going to look at a few scriptures just to set the context of today's Bible study. I like to share the scripture because not everybody remembers it, and sometimes it's just good to have a refresher. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse 13 and just read down. This is the story context today. It says, Matthew chapter 16, starting with 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should go tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And then just to finish, just a little background so we have a background for our story today is Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 1. And it's just giving a background to today's lesson. And it says, And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and the draught of all the fishes which they had taken. Verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Whew, wow. What a great, story for anyone. Adult, child, bedtime story, good morning, wake up story. It just gets you going. The words of Christ, the follow me, the disciples. Jesus called the disciples to follow him. May our hearts also be that same feeling when we are called, because we will be called if we haven't been called at some point, to follow him. Follow him. And I had this interesting read. I'll just share this little story. A pilot announced to his passengers over the intercom system, Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that we have a tailwind and we're making excellent time. The bad news is that our compass is broken. We have no idea where we're going. Help us, Lord, right? Think about the situations that churches are in today, right? Help us, Lord, that we would first get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is so that we can share that revelation with others who are going along in life without a compass. They have no idea. They just don't know. The icebreaker today is just asking, what are your favorite outdoor hobbies? So I'm going to ask you today, what are some of your favorite outdoor hobbies? Sister, I know what you're going to say. It starts with a G. Let me guess. Gardening. Yes. That song, I Come to the Garden Alone, is one of the residents at Heritage Place, their favorite songs. It doesn't matter if you sing it with accompaniment or without,
The tears flow. I mean, it's amazing. It's just, I come to the garden alone and just all the verses. It's just so powerful. Absolutely. Someone, sister, did you raise your hand about what your favorite hobby was, Sister Walker? Gardening. Yes. Yes. I was waiting for some of the fishermen to, yes. Brother Norm. Yes. Fish. Sister? Fishing. Yes.
I like to pick berries.
Oh, see, picking berries. With a Glock on your side for, no, just kidding. Sis. One of our, when the Rathbuns were in Kenai, Brother Rathbun would go down to the beach and he would find a spot on the beach where there was nobody. And there's pretty much, if you find a deserted area on the beach, North Kenai, you're pretty much alone with God. And you can pray, you can shout, you can sing, you can dance, you could whatever you want. There's no one around. Praise God. Amy, did you have... Oh, that's sweet. It's very relaxing. Yes. I think they asked us this icebreaker because, you know, what are your favorite outdoor hobbies? Obviously, Peter, I would say he liked to fish because he was a fisherman. Oftentimes, we have been gifted talents in our lives, and God blesses us with some sort, form of talent that we use in our lives to make money, maybe our living. And that's so nice because... it's just a blessing to be able to do things you love, that inspire you, that get you just, oh, I can't wait to get up this morning and just get to it. you know that feeling? Because there's a difference between having a job where you're like, oh, it's Monday, and I don't want to work. I can't wait till Friday at 5 o'clock. But there's such a joy in being able to get up and do the things you love to do. And I just believe that Peter got up in the mornings and said, wow, it's going to be a great fishing day. Whether it was or not, he was probably excited about getting out there and fishing. You know, Peter was a fisherman, so it was his livelihood, and it was probably, I would imagine, something he really enjoyed. But no doubt he had perfected his trade also. When you have a hobby, oftentimes you put your effort and your time into that hobby, and you get to be really good at it. Which is great. Peter knew what he had to work with for his, you know, his nets, his boat. He probably knew that sea that he was fishing on. He probably knew the seasons very well. And I do not believe for one moment that it was an accident that the Lord asked Peter to use his boat, because this was before he called him. He was seeking him out. And no doubt he could have used any other boat on that sea that day. However, what was starting that day, and a lot of us, we know that day also, what was starting that day was a journey with Peter and the Lord that would later lead to many mighty works of faith, miracles, signs, great things, praise God. And that day that Jesus was looking for Simon Peter, also called Peter, he was speaking and talking to the crowds at that same location. That's the day he met Peter. Perhaps due to that large crowd of people, that's why he wanted to borrow the boat. I think it would probably be a great amphitheater, because on the bluff where we live, everything carries on the water. It's just amplified. It's just louder. It's amazing. And I can imagine after a long day of fishing, like some of you are fishermen, you go out, what's the first thing you want to do when you're done? You just want to crash and you want to eat food. If you have already taken care of your fish, praise God. Otherwise, you put ice on them and leave them, take a nap or whatever. Eat, rest, rejuvenate. But no doubt they were ready to rest and relax, I would imagine, get some food. After Jesus climbed into that boat, Peter pushed that boat out, and Peter then became a captive audience to what Jesus was saying that day. Imagine that. Imagine what
the Spirit was like, just to feel, just to be in His presence, just to hear His words. Imagine what that must have felt like. That's why I think that when they spent that time with Jesus, they were changed. Like, we are changed when we are with Jesus. When we take that time, and when Peter was instructed to take his boat and go into the deep water and they would catch fish, they'd been fishing all night. They'd been fishing already, right? Peter didn't say no. He just simply obeyed and did it. I think Peter had already heard rumors of Jesus, of what he's been doing around, what kind of things he's been. People have been changed, their lives healed. People have been having wonderful miracles. Peter agreed to take the boats out to the deep water, Jim, simply because Jesus asked him to. Imagine what that seasoned fisherman was thinking. Fish, now I'm going to get fish? I just finished fishing for the last 12 hours. I just finished fishing. Peter was, I don't think he was humoring the Lord. I think he perhaps had heard rumors of Jesus, and he probably was like, hey, what could happen? You know, there was probably the seed of hope. Well, you know what? If the Lord says, get your boat out there, let's go fish. So he might have thought in his mind, man, we fished all night, we've caught nothing, and now there's going to be fish here. Okay. Peter, James, and John cast out their net. Then they heard the distinct sound of their nets tearing. What happens to your spirit? Woo! You're like, what? We've been fishing all night. Nothing. Zero. Zip. And then all of a sudden we listen to the Lord and we put our nets out and the nets are literally breaking. We can hear the nets breaking. The number of fish Peter saw as he lifted the net assured him that he was experiencing a supernatural event. What was happening was revealing the true identity of Jesus to the disciples that day. Peter did not know how the fish got there. He knew that Jesus told him to do this. He knew that he was experiencing something right then that he had never experienced before, ever. And isn't that how our experience with God is? We have expectations. We've done this in the past. However, when God steps into the middle of it, everything changes. Everything changes. Old Testament, dry bones come to life. New Testament, the lame walk. The deaf hear. The lost are saved. And that's what God does. Isn't he wonderful? I was just imagining at that moment what Peter must have thought, just being right there with the Lord. And he was with him in the boat, listening. Peter knew in his heart that Jesus was more than just a man. Even the rabbis could not perform such a feat. At the least, Jesus had to be a prophet. But when Peter arrived to the shore and faced the Lord, he collapsed to his knees and prayed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And we read that in our first few scriptures. The miracle of fish revealed Jesus' identity. Wow, the number of fish that Peter saw as he lifted those nets, really, it assured him, and he knew that this was supernatural. This just could not have happened. And I can imagine it being in a season on the Kenai River where the reds were not running, and we do the same thing. We go out there and we're like, what? They're not even running right now. This is not supposed to be. This is not supposed to happen. Remember the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He had a similar experience. One day Isaiah saw a vision of God positioned on the throne within the temple of Jerusalem. And the angels were singing all around the throne, and the entire temple began to shake violently. And Isaiah cried out. He said, "It's over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." You know what? Much like what Peter had experienced, Isaiah was confronted also with God. Peter also with God. But what did they do? They recognized their sinfulness immediately. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. This manifestation of God's power. Isaiah saw the throne and the Lord on his throne. Peter saw the nets bursting with fish. It could only be a divine, something divine. Absolutely. Both of these encounters with God, then there was a commission after, right? They recognized that they were sinners. They were with God Almighty. Isaiah became a prophet for God. Peter became a fisher of men. It's amazing. When we meet Jesus, we are changed. We are changed. Our values change. We become aligned with Him. And our lives, we then have this desire when we recognize our sinfulness and how great and awesome God is. We have this desire in our soul to be, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more Christ-like. I want to be clean. I want to be beautiful for you. I just want to be clean. And Peter, he began his life fishing for fish. Now he's fishing for men. I love that follow me, that command has been over and over again in Scripture. God called Abraham and Sarah to leave their home and their identity to sojourn to a land that they didn't know. God called Rahab to shelter the undercover agents in Jericho. And God called Samuel those three times as a boy to be God's servant, who later would be the one that would anoint Israel's first king. From the very beginning, God has called people. He stepped into lives, called people. Steps into lives. We feel His presence. We feel His awesomeness, His mighty power, Almighty God, the Holy One. We feel that. And you know what? We have something in our hearts. God, I'm a sinful person. I'm a sinful man. I want to be changed. I want to be like you, and I want to do what you'd like me to do. We had a lesson last week in obedience. You know what? All of these people from the very beginning were ordinary people. I consider myself an ordinary person. We are just ordinary people. Everyday people going about business, going about Peter fishing to bring livelihood to his family. They worked with their hands. They were hoping that they could survive and live in this world and maybe have a little extra, you know. I would imagine Peter and James, and they were very weathered from all the fishing. They didn't have all the spa treatments, etc. Maybe the salt, you know, they had sea salt, beautiful. But honestly, when God calls us, we've got to be open to that voice when He says, follow me. Follow me. Amen. And then, you think of what did Peter leave behind when he followed the Lord? I would imagine he had a good business for his fisher, couple boats. That's a pretty big deal. And then I thought, too, husbands and wives, you know what? I think that there was some definite camaraderie and companionship and love and care, because when one of you are in ministry and serving, there has got to be that support system. Otherwise, I just believe that they had the support from their wives and they said, yes, follow him, because they probably, you know, that revelation that their husbands had shared with their wives, like we are commissioned to do, share. Jesus is looking for those who will follow him. He's come to build his church. And the word church has become connected to a gathering place in 2023, right? But the real translation of the English New Testament comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means to call out of, or a chosen or called out assembly. It never meant a church building. It was a people. So we can say today with confidence, I am the church. I am the church. Each one of us are the church. We are the church. And the church is not a building. It's a body
of true believers. It's not a business. It's the bride of Christ chosen by the Father. It's not a corporation. It's a congregation of Christ followers. It's not a financial institution. It's a family. It's a flock. It's not led by a CEO. It's led by a shepherd. It's not built by corporate executives. It's built by Christ alone. Praise God. Jesus promises that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I am the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I am the church. Remember? The phrase "shall not prevail" should be understood to mean also "shall not stand against." The gates of hell shall not stand against the church. I am the church. Remember? This shows the church being on the offensive against the gates of hell. That's us. That's us snatching out victims from darkness into his glorious light, his kingdom of light. And that's what we are commissioned to do, because it's a dark world. I feel like I've grown so much this last week. Just each week is different, but some weeks I feel like I haven't grown this much since I was 23 years old. It just seems like, wow, and stretched and grown. And I'd love to share stories, but I can't. However, it's amazing. It doesn't necessarily feel very great. What it does is it does bring you to a greater connection with him, because you've got to go and give it to him. That growing, that growth, when it hurts, when it hurts so bad, you've got to give it to him, because you can't carry it. We were never meant to carry it. The Lord says to cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for us. He went to a cross, Calvary, for us, not just us, for the ones that some people think are undeserving, right? There is a survey. According to the survey, when asked, why does the church exist? It was kind of sad to me when I read it. It said 89% of churchgoers said this. They said, the church's purpose is to take care of my family and my needs. 89%. Only 11% said that the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. That's not just 11%. I'm like, his church is built upon the revelation of who he is. When we have a revelation of who he is, we can never be the same again. We can never walk into a grocery store the same again. We can't walk into our workplace the same, because we know who he is. And not that we are anything extraordinary, but we know who we are in Jesus Christ. The mission of the church is just exactly when Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus was quoting Isaiah, and he announced basically his fulfillment of prophecy in this quote. He described himself as the anointed, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. You know, the disciples were working as fishermen, but when they received that call to follow me, they enthusiastically followed. Wow. Jesus gave them a new vocation, and that's what he does for us. No longer fishing for fish, they were fishing for men now. And so many ways God does that same thing in our lives. He nurtures our talents, our gifts, our interests, and he uses those things to help us share the gospel to those around us. Isn't it just beautiful? Just makes so much sense too. It's so good. Peter saw Jesus for who he really was. According to Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah.
Well, many other people recognized him as an important leader or teacher. Jesus' messiahship was a revelation from God. Praise God. We need that revelation. And if we need it every, Lord, give it to us fresh every day. Because once we have that revelation of who he is, we will never be the same. We won't walk the same. We won't talk the same. We won't even look the same. It's amazing. It's really wonderful. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. The disciples, upon being called, had their life direction changed. When I came to God, and even now, I'm like, Lord, whatever, thy will be done. What is your will in my life? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? And there's never I never consider life's encounters coincidences. It's all ordained of God for a specific purpose. And we may not see that purpose at that moment because God will, he plants a seed. Then what do we do to that seed? We water the seed. Somebody has to harvest that seed, right? And the same in the natural. There's a planting of a seed, and it might be, oh, I only got to talk to that person for 10 minutes. But what did Peter feel when he was with the Lord on the boat that day? What do people feel when they're with you and they have your undivided attention and you speak Christ to them? You speak words of life to them. They feel it. They know there's a difference. They're changed. And believe me, they're thinking about it. They really are. And sometimes they're having dreams and waking up about it because they're like, what? Because the world doesn't have that. It's not sharing Christ. It's sharing a bunch of other nasties. Remember Mark 10:29? No one who has left brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. I can't tell you how much of a blessing that scripture was to me as a new convert, being told to leave my home because I served Jesus Christ. And I honestly felt like my mom hates me. She wants me out of the house. She hated God. She hated religion. I don't want to say religion, use it loosely. She hated the fact that I was serving the Almighty God, and it probably convicted her. Anyway, through the years, in God's gracious glory, we came to such a great union and love. And this woman who said, get out of the house because you go to church, years later invited the entire church over to feed them and have them over and, you know, fellowship with them. It's just amazing, right, what God does. And I tried, and I, as zealous as I was, because I was so zealous, as zealous as I was, I really tried not to Bible thump them all, you know, like bang, 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 bang here. You know, you're this and you're that. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing that because I'm reading the Word of God in James. We're not judging like that. We're showing love. Just God's Word is so good. It teaches us how to live every day, how to live, what attitudes we should have, what we should be looking towards, what we should be leaving behind. Praise God. God can move anywhere. He moved that day on the Sea of Galilee, but it doesn't have to be a Sea of Galilee. It's not limited to a building. That's why when we say we are the church, I've heard stories, and I think some of them are people from here perhaps that have prayed for people in children in grocery stores that were having a medical emergency, lay hands and pray for them. It doesn't matter where you're at. I know you also have probably been in an aisle in a grocery store, and someone shares their story of trauma and life's events, and you just shelter them, hold them, pray for them right there. The tears flow, and that's okay. It doesn't, you are the church. At that moment, something divine and eternal is happening that doesn't matter if you're in a grocery store in the home goods department. it doesn't matter. You know, the writer of this lesson today suggested that the most dangerous thing about a church building is that it has caused us to relegate faith to a place rather than to people. Wow, right? We love the house of God. We want to worship and praise and give and do and serve. And just, it's wonderful to be with the people of God. But the church is people. It's not a building. I will choose to be the church, to be a disciple. Disciples have something that's called this tenacity to commit to following, to learn, to grow, to be more like their example. In our case, it's Jesus Christ. He loves us. He died for us. Remember the first commandment? Oh, yes, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are the two greatest, the first and second greatest commandments. Then we have to say, how should believers treat, number one, each other? How should we treat those that are not a believer, right? We're compassionate, we're kind, we're forgiving. I remember I asked this question a few months ago, and we had a brand new person, probably one that Sister Annette that you had invited, and I said, how should we treat each other? And she said, with kindness. I was like, absolutely. You know what? Why not? Are we not to know each other for the love that we have one for another?
Yes.
Right. A disciple embraces the good in others. I am so thankful when your lives profit and you are doing well and you are in good health. God has blessed you with things. Why would I not? Right? Our motives are not right. Our attitudes are not right if we cannot rejoice with our brothers and sisters when they are doing so well, so good, and God is blessing. I know that there are people that will be like, I've just heard, like, oh my word, how can they be so blessed? We live on the same planet. It rains on the just and the unjust. And you know what? Be thankful for your brothers and sisters when they are blessed. It is a blessing from God. And it's such a blessing to be kind, to be compassionate, to enjoy, just embrace their joy. Be happy with them. Bible says to mourn with those that mourn. You know, rejoice with those that rejoice. We want to do that. We want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jonah had a very different opinion of Nineveh than God, right? Very different. God saw Jonah's potential even when Jonah was not living up to that potential, right? We need God's grace to help us see the potential, not only in ourselves, but in those around us. If you can do something to help somebody else grow, your brother or sister in the church, to help them be stronger, to have more faith, to have more power in his spirit, to just even walk even more soundly in him. That is a blessing that you can give. That's something you can do. And I just think when Jesus was on that cross, you know, when Jonah was thinking of Nineveh, he's thinking, well, heathens. But when Jesus was on the cross, he died for those people that act that way, right? When he said it's finished, it was that person who was on his mind, right? It wasn't just you and me. It was everybody, the whole world. And as a disciple, there's such a beautiful, just in being patient and being kind and being gentle with people. Psalms 86:15, the Bible tells us that God is patient with us, slow to anger, and abounding in love. We are to be patient and kind and gentle and bearing fruit in our lives, Galatians chapter 5. When we allow the fruit of God's Spirit to grow in our lives, our actions become more like Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Almost 1,000 years ago, before Jesus first came to the earth, King David received from God the plans for a glorious temple for the Lord. And David's son, King Solomon, had the honor of building that temple in Jerusalem. The temple was often referred to and called the house of God. The house was a great splendor and glory, magnificent. We look at the New Testament. We are now called the temple of God. His Spirit lives inside of us. We are baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and allow His Spirit, His magnificence, His glory, His splendor to shine in us. Don't you know that God's temple dwells within you? Paul told the Christians, you yourselves are God's temple. Peter said, he said, it's like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Living stones, praise God, living stones. Jesus is making us into a holy, radiant church without spot or wrinkle. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. As followers of Jesus Christ, our mission is to be a disciple who makes disciples. Praise God. We are His, and He is big enough and strong enough and has enough resources to provide exactly what we need and what others need through us. Praise God. He loves us. No one can take that away. It's forever. We are the children of the Most High God. He is able. When we cannot do certain things with limitations, there is nothing that He cannot do. His grace is sufficient. Amen? Praise God. We are never alone. He's always with us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is an awesome creator. He has overcome the world. We are a new creation in Him. And I love this. There's a plaque in our office that says, be still and know that I am God. We serve a God that we can say and know, be still and know that I am God. We have a God. We have a choice to be obedient to His word, love Him and love other people, be fruitful and be prepared to share the gospel with others. And I'm going to close with this story. A man is stuck in a flood and turns to God. As the flood waters rose, the man was on the porch of his house and prayed that God would save him from drowning in the flood. Just then, a man comes up with a rowboat. The man invited him to get in, and he said, I'll save you. The man on the porch said, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to rescue me. The water keeps rising, and the man had to go to the second floor of his house, and he looked out the window, and he saw a man in a motorboat come by, and the man in the boat invited him to get into the boat because he said, hey, I'll rescue you. The man in the house said, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to rescue me. The waters kept rising. Soon the man was forced to climb onto the roof. The helicopter flew by. The man inside lowered the rope and shouted down for the stranded man to climb up the rope, but the man still would not. He said, no thanks. I'm waiting for God to rescue me. Well, eventually the floodwaters rose above the house rooftop and the man drowned. When he got to heaven, he asked God, why didn't you rescue me from drowning when I've had perfect faith? God said, what more do you want from me? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Sometimes it's hard to hear God's call. There are many voices that we have to kind of drown out to hear God's voice. But He will say, follow me. And that is our choice then, to be obedient and follow Him. God bless you today as we fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.